Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
John Hansen taking time out from his busy schedule of 17 jobs to join us for Extremely Local News, sponsored by Great Lakes Credit Union, committed to financially empowering local communities. Morning, John. I'm happy to hear about finally some plans for the old abandoned Lowry's Prime Rib restaurant at 100 East Ontario Street.
Yeah, good morning, Bob. Yeah, the plan is a $50 million magic theater slated to open up, as you mentioned, at the Lowry's Prime Rib restaurant, the former location there. The building itself has an interesting history, which I can touch on in a moment, but what's going to be coming in is called The Hand and the Eye, and it's going to feature 37 magic rooms and a tour that will focus on the history of close-up magic, which I learned a lot about after the Chicago Magic Lounge opened up in the Andersonville neighborhood a few years ago. Close-up magic is a very Chicago thing where it's not necessarily about the big stage and the oohs and the ahs and sawing a woman in half. It's more about the sleight of hand that happens right in front of your face and how amazing it is right at the table when you see it happen, just a little private audience between the magician and maybe you, a couple, or a couple of friends. Anyways, the visitors are going to be guided through secret passageways, encountering magicians along the way. Just one more, I mean, this is good news for the Mag Mile, right? Another occupied building is great. And another experience, Bob, right? We went from a lot of retailers and restaurants to now we have the Harry Potter. We've had pop-ups on the Mag Mile. And now here's yet another experience, which I think will cater to locals but tourists as well.
And this is going to be an adults-only venue, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. Adults only. I'm sure they're going to serve some cocktails, too. I'm fascinated by the history of the McCormick Mansion, which was built in 1889, as people know. It was a casino for some time. It was a Grand Opera puppet theater, which I don't know what that means, but I want to read more about that.
Yeah, Kungsholm Puppet Theater. I remember that.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
And
then now it'll be this magic thing.
Do we know when they're opening?
Nope, not yet. They're just in the initial stages. They see maybe spring of 2026, so we'll have to keep an eye on that.
Let's talk next about what's going on with this Italian ice place and the dispute with a worker.
Yeah, this is Miko's Italian Ice, which has been in the neighborhood for nearly 28 years. And a worker, whose name is Hope, she went online and complained that she had been fired from Miko's because she refused to take off her mask. Hope says that she has an immunocompromised roommate. She showed up for the first day wearing a mask, and she says that the owner said, basically, take the mask off or go find somewhere else to work. She went on to Reddit to complain about that. Now, Miko's is a summer staple in the Logan Square neighborhood and has been for many, many years. The owner, counters this. He says this is not exactly what happened at all. In fact, he showed text messages to Block Club Chicago that he sent to her saying, no, look, you can come back. This isn't about that. He just wants to have smiling faces, not behind masks. And I find myself kind of split on this one, Bob. I completely understand people wanting to wear a mask on their own accord even after the pandemic. A lot of countries wear masks all the time to prevent illnesses from spreading. But I do see why the owner of maybe a summer ice cream shop or Italian ice shop that you want smiling faces greeting customers, not wanting you to be wearing that mask unless you're sick. And the backlash, unfortunately, Bob, has been people going online and leaving what the owner says are fake negative reviews about his place, saying people aren't washing their hands and all this stuff that no one's ever complained about for 28 years at Miko's, and it's damaging the reputation. You know, those online reviews can be so negative and can really hurt a local business.
Sure.
So it's a little bit of a he said, she said, and we're still trying to get to the bottom of it. I will say that Hope feels bad that people are leaving these fake reviews. She didn't want people to do that. She just wanted to raise awareness that, hey, some people still want to wear their masks. They have immunocompromised people in their life, and it shouldn't prevent them from being able to work.
And now on to the debate about e-scooters. And this is about using them late at night, isn't it?
Yeah, this is from midnight to 8 a.m., or to 5 a.m., excuse me, which originally that was the ban at first. I think the fear is drunk people using e-scooters. So about a year or so ago, the city council approved a measure to allow the e-scooters to be able to be used overnight. And we talked to some people that actually work in the overnight hours and really want this there, because the CTA, not reliable overnight, as we know in many cases. The scooters have been really helpful for folks who want to be able to scoot around at night and even overnight. The city council allowed the midnight to 5 a.m. scooters to go, but they said you have to create, the owners of these scooters, an app or something in the app that tests your impairment to see if you're drunk, whether it's some sort of breathalyzer or some sort of thing to happen to make sure that you aren't drunk on the roadway, which you can be pulled over for a DUI, by the way, if you're using a scooter drunk, although the city and the state said that they haven't arrested anyone for that. But the point is that there's this debate of, should you have to prove that you're sober to ride a scooter? After all, we don't have to prove that when we get in our cars, Bob, or when we get in our bikes. So why should that prevent a bunch of people from being able to use scooters to get around? But I also see the agreement and the argument that the council made, including Brian Hopkins downtown, saying we don't want this to be the Wild West of people picking up the scooters after the bars and going home intoxicated, thinking that that's a safe way to get home. So kind of back and forth on this one, whether they're going to implement some sort of technology to determine if you're under the influence or not before you get on the scooter.
Yeah, as they say, stay tuned. And finally, this dust storm we've been talking about that hit us Friday night. Judging by history, we're probably not going to experience this again anytime soon, are we?
Boy, I hope not, although it was just so eerie when it came through. I heard you guys talking about it earlier. I was at an outdoor brewery having a beer, and then all of a sudden it looked like the world was ending. Luckily, not so much, but it was the first one in the city since May 10th, 1934, during the Dust Bowl era. Which, of course, well, we've all heard about, and some of those made its way. I mean, the Dust Bowl's dust made its way to New York, Bob, let alone just Chicago from the plains and such. But yeah, that's the last one we had one for anyone on there looking up to brush up on their dust history.
Yeah, at least they're not as dangerous as tornadoes. We heard about the terrible storms in the Midwest over the weekend. It's a scary thing if you're driving and can't see, but otherwise, it's just your car and your outdoor furniture that suffer, isn't it?
I saw some local car wash places, by the way, Bob, offering free car washes yesterday.
Oh,
what a
really
smart marketing thing to do to get people all registered up with their car wash place.
Yeah. John Hansen, he does the Block Club Chicago podcast, and you'll hear him tonight. Your Money Matters at 6. Thank you, John.
Take care, Bob.